There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This episode of the Cult Popture Podcast was brought to you by our Patreon. If you want to tell us which films we should watch, listen to up to 2 extra exclusive podcasts a month, or give us something to discuss in our new post-credit scenes at the end of each episode, then please consider joining the cult and donating at www.patreon.com/cultpopture. Well. Welcome to the Cult Popture Podcast. I'm going to readjust my horribly set up little podcast station here. We're still going. We're all good. Okay. Hey, Rowan.
Hey, AJ.
Hey, Richard.
Hello.
And hello to the fresh
Prince of taste, Bel-Air.
The fresh taste of a Coca-Cola Zero. That's right. This is the Cult Popture Podcast, the only podcast where the hosts drink Coke Zero and then burp into the microphone. Yes.
Today I'm drinking water out of a brand new Sistema drink bottle I bought. I've been drinking out of pump bottles for too long.
But now you're just drinking out of a thicker plastic bottle.
Wow.
Yeah, but it will last longer.
Yeah, you say that like it's a good thing.
Like the period of time where I use it will last longer.
Dude, the sooner you get rid of a water bottle, the sooner you can get back to the refreshing, cool taste of Coke Zero.
All right, so let's get into what we're talking about.
Enough of this
today.
Tomfoolery.
Okay, so today it was one of those things. These off-week podcasts, we often try to tie into some kind of current event. But some weeks, there's just too many current events. And we can't decide on one topic, so we think we'll do them all. So we've done this once before where the three of us came together and pitched ideas for podcasts we could have done if that had been the only piece of news this week. We haven't ended up doing any of the podcasts that we suggested in it, but maybe we will here. There's also a second layer to this one in that we had an idea for a podcast to do this week, and Rowan would not reply to us all week and we were unable to concrete organize anything. So we're like, Rowan, will you come to AJ's house at 1 o'clock? Yeah. If you just don't have to do anything.
Yeah, and to be clear, I have pretty much no idea what we're about to talk about.
Wow, that
I think
is...
there's a bullet pointed list on the group chat at one point, right?
It's kind of like we've just got a list of like news stories related to pop culture that have broken in the last week to 10 days kind of thing. And yeah, we'll go through them and then... I mean, like, a lot of it's just going to be, what do we think of this announcement? Or like, this
what are we thinking?
The idea is that we come up with, as you said, podcast ideas for this piece of news.
Right.
But is this a real good idea for a podcast? Or a very lazy idea that we've done twice now?
Let's
find out together.
It's not so much that it's lazy, it's just trying to put the Cult Popture spin on doing like a weekly roundup of news.
That's true.
Do you want to give an example of, like, take a piece of news that isn't what we're about to talk about and give me an example of...
Well, so last year
when
we did it, that like Spider-Man was... We're in that interim where Spider-Man was pulled out of the MCU. And so we did like, how would Spider-Man 3 be made?
And what was the resolution to that? He's just back.
He called up, who'd he call up?
He got drunk and got a phone call from, Bob Iger, and they worked something out.
Yeah.
Cause he'd been like sending emails back and forth and he was like,
wait, Tom Holland was drunk and then he got a call from Bob Iger.
Yeah. So he'd been, I think he was back in the UK and he was like, Yeah, he'd been talking to Feige and sending out these emails and essentially was like, I would love the chance to be able to talk to Bob about this. And he said that it was like, he just wanted to kind of be like, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I'm sad it couldn't work out kind of thing. And he was at a pub quiz with his family and had had a bit to drink. And then he gets this phone call and he's like, oh my God, it's Bob Iger. And then so he takes the call. He like walks out of the bar, takes the call. And then he like, you know, a couple of drinks in, emotions tend to get the best of us. And he's just like, oh, I just want to play Spider-Man again. Like, and they ended up working it out. But that's not what we're here to talk about today.
No. Right. So what is our first piece of news, Richard, that we can talk about?
So these are kind of just like in the order I thought of them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But it is obviously possibly the biggest news story of the week and definitely the most shocking was the death of Chadwick Boseman last weekend. Died at the age of 43 from a very private battle with colon cancer. It's now coming out that people very close to him had no idea. You know, obviously the kind of like thing you'd expect a pop culture podcast to do around that is like, where do they do Black Panther 2? But you
it's
know,
not like he was a real human being who had roles and a life beyond Black Panther.
Yeah.
This is all we want to talk about.
And like there, I think it like, don't get me wrong, it is definitely natural as a movie fan and as a Marvel fan to wonder those things. But there's a time and a place for it. And I think like Screen Rant got a lot of backlash because within a couple of hours they're like, here's 10 ways they can continue.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's
Looper, the YouTube channel, posted like 8 videos about Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Like they're all like the same topic. It's gross. And so I wouldn't want to suggest we do a capitalization on that in any way. If we were going to do a podcast based on the news of Chadwick Boseman's death, I would say let's watch a bunch of Chadwick Boseman movies.
Yeah,
to like,
I think it's more important at, right? Like at this stage, what you want to be doing is like celebrating the roles he did give us and the legacy he left behind rather than you know, predicting what his absence will leave, like the effect that'll have. But yeah, I think like you don't need to necessarily use your platform to be like Black Panther 2, but I don't think you should feel bad for wondering. You know,
no.
I'm just saying, like you know, if a close friend to you dies, you think about like, oh my God, like what's my life going to be like without them? And the relationship as movie fans we have with Chadwick Boseman is his work, and so.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, that's the relationship.
It's perfectly natural to wonder, but there's a difference between wondering and using your monetized platform to talk about something that definitely doesn't matter in the grand scheme of the man's life. But so, have you guys seen any other Chadwick Boseman films?
Only The Five Bloods.
Yeah, what do you think of him in The Five Bloods?
Great.
Yeah, he's good in that.
Great. And I think his passing only strengthens what you get out of watching him in that film now.
Yeah, because in The Five Bloods,
beautiful, but
yeah. In The Five Bloods, he's like he's the dead soldier that they return to Vietnam to honor,
and he's, you know, dead too young.
Died too young.
The whole film's concept.
Yeah, that's cool. I've seen Get On Up, the James Brown biopic. I saw that years ago before I even knew.
Like, yeah,
I saw it at the movies, so it wasn't you know, he wasn't Black Panther at the time.
I think I've seen 42, but in the kind of context where like it was on and I wasn't really like, I think I was like in another room and I kind of like followed bits and pieces of it. But yeah, I definitely like, you know, I'd be keen to check out some more of his work.
Well, there you go. Chuck that on the list is watching Chadwick Boseman movies. we all watched The Five Bloods, Get On Up, and 42.
And
there you go.
Marshall.
We could have done that, everybody. We could have done that this week.
We could have done a very beautiful, moving tribute to the work and life of Chadwick Boseman.
And instead, we're just going to talk about not doing
meta
it.
Meta approach. We mentioned, we made it very clear that it would be in bad taste to talk about his Black Panther stuff.
Mm. What about this other podcast ideas? Other things that would be bad taste to talk about. other things that would be bad taste to turn into content.
So it's the same thing we're doing now, like taking the week's news, but what's the most bad taste podcast ideas we can come up with?
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of bad taste, Mulan was released on Disney Plus for $40. That's $40 New Zealand. If you already have a Disney Plus subscription, you have to pay additional money to watch it. It will be free from December 4th. So if you just want to wait, you can. Otherwise, legally, you have to fork out $30, $40 New Zealand dollars, which actually I think works out so that we get it slightly cheaper. I don't know, shady business practices that
the government's tax credit working in our favor, film production deals.
Shady business practices we object to.
Unethical. We could have done this with Tenet's release as well. Unethical moves, unethical Hollywood decisions. Releasing Tenet in the middle of a pandemic, making people pay for Mulan and then do a bunch. But you may not know that, you know, 10 years ago, some movie did this and that was also unethical. That would be a legitimately interesting podcast, I think.
Yeah, like if it was well researched and...
Yeah.
Things like, you know, that like biblical epic they did years ago where they like drowned a bunch of people
because
they had a giant flood.
Ooh. Yeah, that would be a good idea for a podcast.
Be a good idea for a movie.
Yep.
Drowning
it
people.
Would be. Yeah. It's worth it for the biblical epic.
Which is like movies versus COVID-19. Who wins? Whoever wins, we lose.
Yeah. So, movies...
Everything's changing. Movies won't be the same.
What about...
Mulan's just like a glimpse into that reality.
Things to do instead of watching movies. And Culpopture has to pivot to away from watching movies.
We have to go for a hike.
Yeah. I like it.
One thing we could have done if Mulan was the only news this week would be... this would be very cheeky. 5 or 6 years ago, I a few times hung out with... Yosin Ann, who plays the male lead in the Mulan movie. This is before he was famous. I actually helped filmed an audition tape for him. I knew him through a friend, and I saw him a couple of times.
Which character does he play?
I don't think he's based... I think he's an original character.
Yeah, he's an original character because they had to retool the love interest because, like, a superior officer falling in love with one of their soldiers was considered bad taste post-Me Too.
Mm. Yeah.
Is he the love interest, though?
I think so.
Yeah. I'm
not
sure. Morning.
Is it good?
I'm not sure.
My,
if pay 40
my quick take review is Star Wars plus Lord of the Rings plus Whale Rider.
So it's pretty good then.
It's not bad, but there's a bit that really sucks. Otherwise, most of it's pretty high.
That's
like,
so
it's
funny.
Probably one
like,
of the better Disney remakes.
Yeah, it's not great. It's like combine like these three amazing properties and
these
you get,
like those
movies.
Are the vibes that the film gives you. I'm not saying it like lives up to whatever those three.
Like it's attempting to be each of those kind of things.
So anyway, I hung out with Yosin maybe 3 or 4 times in like 2015. I think I saw Whiplash with him. Wow. Like this is how much like, you know, he was a mutual friend. So it's not like we hung out, but I never added him on Facebook.
Oh, you.
I never did. I never did. And if I did, we could have scored an interview with Yosin Ann from Mulan, I think. I think that's not outside
You should
the
try
realm,
getting so. Contact with him and be like...
No, because now it's so like... He wouldn't accept a friend request from me. He probably doesn't even remember who I am.
You guys saw Whiplash, the best movie of the 2010s together. He will
yeah,
remember
that's
that.
True. That's true. Maybe I didn't see it with him. I can't remember. It was the same mutual friend. And maybe it was someone else. I can't remember. Anyway... So that's my little connection. Like, I remember when it was announced that he was cast in Mulan, I was like, oh my God. And I looked up to see if we were Facebook friends and we were not. And yeah. I was like,
I believe...
I could have leveraged our friendship into my success.
I do believe that, I think Kieran, who's been on the podcast before, knows someone in the cast as well.
Mm.
And I think Dave... who's also been on the podcast before, does as well.
Wow, we're together. Well, it was filmed in New Zealand, so
yeah. So it's like it's not a common. There's the New Zealand famously is like everyone knows someone who knows someone.
But I was reminded of all this the other day when it was like Wired or something uploaded a video promoting Mulan that was like directors and stars of Mulan, or director and stars of Mulan break down an action scene, and he was one of the people in there. Mm. And it was like, oh, a guy I knew once is on that iconic endless white backdrop talking about his movie. So that hit close to home for some reason. But yeah, there you go. So there's an idea if Mulan was the only news this week.
And you touched on it, but speaking of new releases in the last couple of weeks, it's been a very strange release. But Tenet, the Christopher Nolan film, was finally out, originally scheduled for July. It's got pushed back in very small amounts, considering how the state of the world at the moment.
Yeah,
you guys have seen it. I'm still yet to see it because the weekend when it was out, movie theaters were still not open in my city because we had a minor lockdown after a brush with COVID.
Mm. Whereas we were able to see it, and we were both
able to watch it,
and we were both very disappointed by the film. And what it's come down to in the recent weeks as I've dissected this, and this was originally the podcast idea that we had, and asked Rowan if he wanted to be on the show, and he said no and then didn't reply for 2 days.
Hey guys!
What was I wanted to do a podcast perhaps on like famous creative decisions in movies that you disagree with, because Tenet... Christopher Nolan in Tenet and his previous few movies has made the intentional choice to make the sound mix so that the dialogue doesn't stand out above the rest of the sound in the movie, and you cannot understand anything anyone is saying in Tenet. And I wanted to talk about how I fundamentally disagree with that.
Well, because Nolan, like, because this is a very common complaint with the film, and Nolan has now commented on it and said that audiences don't need to hear all of the dialogue; they just want to get the gist, which I think works in Dunkirk, and because it's like this was a problem that really started to rear its head in Interstellar. I mean, the initial kind of the preview they did of The Dark Knight Rises, which is the opening scene, People complained about Bane's voice and that a lot more, and it was fixed a little bit. But yeah, in Interstellar, there's like the twist of the film is revealed by a dying character who you cannot understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dunkirk, it's like you could watch that film play out and it's a silent film, and you would still follow it. Whereas from what I understand, something like Tenet and something like Interstellar is like very complex. And I mean, people often say that Inception is complex, but it's not, because everything is explained to you and hear
crystal
all that
clear
dialogue.
Yeah.
But when you can't hear that dialogue, it's like, what is it all for?
What is it all for? I believe it is fundamentally bad filmmaking to make your dialogue inaudible. It baffles me. It baffles me that he's this in love with this idea that a movie which is almost all expositional dialogue is so hard to understand, and it really took me out of the film. Any thoughts, Rowan?
I didn't think the film was hard to understand because I couldn't hear the dialogue. I just thought the film was hard to understand because even with subtitles on, I think I still would have been lost or disengaged by the final third.
Right, like it's just a complex film kind of thing.
Like I can take his point that you only need the gist. And that's the vibe I was going for about half the film, because someone says at the start to just go with it. And I was like, okay, I can go with it. I get the I get the broad stakes, I get the mechanics, and then halfway through the film, I was just like, what is going on?
There's a part in the film where, so already without anything obstructing their faces, they're hard to understand. And then three very important characters have a very important conversation on a like speedboat thing, while they're wearing masks and talking through comms. So dialogue and Tenet. I'm going to show you. I'm going to do this on the podcast. So right now, as I'm talking, I'm going to edit some music and sound under me talking, and I'm not going to adjust how my dialogue sounds in amongst the audio. This is what it sounds like when you're watching Tenet. And then they put on these walkie-talkies, and all of a sudden it goes from to and I literally, in my head, I nearly turned to you, Rowan, because we saw it together. I nearly turned to you and said, oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Why would you do this? Why would you do this? I'm so baffled by it as a creative decision, and I thought it could be a fun experiment to look at other... Like, it's not just things you don't like in movies. It's moments where the director or an actor or someone creative has made a very intentional risk and it has not paid off. So another great example that we talked about, Richard, was Bryan Cranston's death in the Godzilla 2014 film.
Which Bryan Cranston himself has come out and said that, like, essentially he fundamentally disagrees with as a creative choice.
Yeah. Yeah, or what's
one of those things? It doesn't work in a dramatic sense, like in terms of, like, I mean, I guess you could say it's a form of dramatic irony that this guy who spent his entire life trying to prove that these monsters exist dies just before they're confirmed to exist. But it's unsatisfying to not see him get that payoff.
And also, you've got Bryan Cranston in your movie.
Yeah, he's a much more interesting character. Yeah.
Maybe make him the main character instead of Aaron Taylor Johnson, who's also in Tenet, who you also can't hear.
Is he in Tenet?
He's in Tenet. Sorry, maybe that was a reveal.
When are you saying it, Richard?
Yeah, you were very apathetic about Tenet, Richard, so I'm not as cautious about spoiling cast reveals and things.
I reckon you might really enjoy it now that you've had, like, all of the pretense of what it is stripped away.
I actually, like, now I'm kind of like, fuck, maybe I will really enjoy it. A lot of people at work...
Aaron Taylor Johnson? Damn.
My view on the film since, I haven't seen it again yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing it again. And now that I've had the chance to, like, dig through what it is, like, I like conceptually what it is. I just think at least that first time viewing was just, it just didn't work for me.
I don't think I'll ever see it again. Anyway, what were you saying, Richard?
Yeah, I'll see it at some point. Like, everyone at work...
you should go today, though. Like, see it ASAP.
It's very possible I will go today, if not
you should.
Tomorrow. Like, I'm seeing it this weekend.
Yeah,
let's just say that. Let's leave it at that and just move on. but yeah, like, a lot of people at work have seen it and be like, yeah, I thought it was amazing. And I was like, yeah, I've heard you can't really understand the dialogue. And they're like, yeah, like, that was a problem. And I didn't follow the film at all, but, like, it looked really cool. And it's like, it sounds like you didn't like it.
The thing is, they will, if, like, they're at the halfway point in the movie, if I think everyone understands what's going on at that point. And that's a pretty cool, like, as an experience movie, there's some moments where it's pretty fun. The problem is, it feels like a parody of a Christopher Nolan movie for most of the time.
Yeah.
That's what I thought when I saw the first trailer.
That's the thing, is the most annoying thing about... I feel like I'm locked out of the clubhouse with not being able to understand the dialogue. Like, it's frustrating because Nolan is the... As it is for a lot of us, I'm sure, and oh, fuck it, pun intended, is the inception of a lot of my interest in film, right?
I'm glad that you confirmed that pun was intended. I would have wondered.
Nolan is, like, responsible for so much of my love of filmmaking, and God, what... I just want to enjoy one of his films, but I haven't been able to fucking understand them for five years.
What percentage of Tenet do you think you didn't understand, dialogue-wise?
Like, maybe 50-60%.
Oh, shit. See, I'm sitting at more like 5% or 10%. Like,
you've got ears of steel then, dude. You've got golden
ears
cochleas.
Ears of steel, like, be shit at hearing things?
Yeah. No, I mean, I can see the complaints, but I don't think it's the film's complete undo. It's not like, fix that and you fix the film. I think the actual problems
with Tenet,
I
don't know enough about the film because I couldn't understand what anyone was saying.
No, I think stuff like at the end, all of the characters you're tracking look exactly the same because they're all wearing identical costumes. And yeah,
I didn't understand what the end was about either. Yeah, I didn't understand the stakes of the scene. At the end, there's this emotional part where they're sort of, you know, debriefing what has just happened, and it sounds like this. Yeah,
I got the gist of that. I think as an audience member, I can enjoy that.
Like, Dunkirk was inaudible as a creative choice, and it worked because you don't need to hear anyone in that.
Well,
film.
There's also an in-universe reason that it's so loud.
Exactly.
Like, when it's being overtaken by the score, It's like, just turn the score down, Nolan. Whereas like, oh, it's because they're in the middle of a fucking war.
Which
like,
is yeah, a great decision. Yeah. And in Tenet, it's like just normal, quiet dialogue scenes. It's the same thing. Anyway, I've talked about this nonstop for the 2 weeks since I've seen it. So what is the next opportunity, Richard? What else could we have made a podcast on?
Well, so speaking of new movies that came out, Charlie Kaufman, one of my favorite filmmakers, screenwriters and directors, released his new movie on Netflix last night. I watched it. I really enjoyed it. I am not sure I understood it.
It's like normies' reviews of Tenet.
Yeah. Kaufman is like known for being quite like an alienating creative voice and quite esoteric. And this is probably like, for better or worse, like Tenet, it's the most like him movie he's ever made. However, it did remind me of, speaking of podcast ideas we could have done, not long ago, the three of us again did a podcast on unfinished or abandoned pieces of media that we would love to see the light of day. Charlie Kaufman wrote a script in the early 2010s called Frank or Francis, which I was like so looking forward to. It was this, found some stuff about it, and the script is available online if you want to read it. But it's about, in the broader sense, it's about film criticism, and it would have revolved primarily around three characters. Frank Arda, who was to be played by Steve Carell, who was a pretentious, self-important screenwriter turned filmmaker whose film, You, is nominated for 29 Academy Awards. That movie within the movie features Arda playing every character, including a homeless man, woman, children, and even African-Americans. Francis Deems, Jack Black, a highly intelligent but enraged film blog commentator who has earned something in the way of a following and still lives with his parents, specifically in their attic. And Alan Modell, played by Nicolas Cage, aka MC, a formerly successful comedian known for his roles in lowbrow comedies with titles like Fat Dad. A character of Eddie Murphy kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it was going to be all these characters, and then there was like this this giant head or something like that was going to like control something. I remember, I haven't read about this in like a decade, but and the whole thing was a musical as well.
Oh my god.
Yeah, there are elements of this in he released a novel like a month or two ago, which I'm still making my way through because it's quite long, called Ant Kind, and it's about a highly intelligent but enraged film blog commentator who discovers a reclusive filmmaker who's spent 90 years making the stop motion film, which is 3 months long. And so he is the first person to ever see the film, and then the creator dies and the film is destroyed, and all that's left is like one frame of it, and he has to essentially try and convince the world that the greatest work of art that could ever exist has already existed. And he's like, because he's also trying to piece it together from his memory, and also deals a lot with like issues with race, and I think that like this probably would have touched on with Steve Carell's character playing like women, children, and African Americans. But yeah, that's one that will never see the light of day, and I wish it had.
So this, to draw it a bit back again to the premise of the podcast, on this podcast ideas based on this week's news, Volume 2, one idea we could have done would be Lost Media Volume Part 2. Very nice. So that's, I'm thinking of Ending Things as his new film on Netflix. I'll probably watch that this weekend along with Milan and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. I don't know.
Oh god. Let's talk about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater Remastered, which came out yesterday.
That wasn't intentional.
Yeah, so Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, classic, you know, sort of early like PlayStation era gaming games, have been fully remastered with the original soundtrack, which is like the big kind of thing with these games. Just came out yesterday, and I haven't got it yet, but I'm pretty keen to at some point. I don't know. What games deserve remasters?
Yeah, that's a great one. That's one we should do. Unless it's just the answers are real obvious.
The answers are just Tiny Hawk. Oh, no, that guy. Crash Band. Oh, no, no.
Rowan, did you ever play Tony Hawk's?
No,
neither.
What were your games like growing up, Rowan? I've heard AJ's like, he's fucking talked about them to death.
Oh,
But I would love to hear yours.
We didn't have a PlayStation or anything when I grew up, but on the computer we had Age of Empires and Red Alert and Civilization 2.
Nice.
And a bunch of math games.
I actually showed Richard the clip from Command and Conquer today where Tim Curry is like,
Spies!
Oh my god, I had never seen it before. Funny. And it's the funniest thing I've ever heard. You should put it in this podcast because I know it was a Patreon exclusive that you put it into. But, oh my god.
Yeah, I'll put it in
Isn't
this
it
one
like
right
the
here.
The one place they can't follow me.
Yeah.
Spies! I'm escaping to the one place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism. Space!
And how he like cracks up as he's delivering the line.
Yeah,
what did you say, Richard? You're like,
he, you can see him reconcile with the fact that he has to say it.
It's very funny. So video games we never played but always thought looked cool.
That's a really good idea. Yeah.
I never played Tony Hawk. So
yeah, what are your guys' video games you never played but look cool?
Oh, like every... I don't know. We didn't have a PlayStation, but I was...
Every game.
Yeah, so many games, bro. Yeah, I don't know.
This isn't exactly the answer to the question, but when Cuphead came out, I was like in love with the rubber hose animation throwback style of it. And I was like, I have to play this. And I started it. And the thing about Cuphead is that the gimmick of it is that it's like excruciatingly difficult. And I was like... Why did it have to be hard? Why did it have to be a hard game? Why was that a prerequisite? Like, I would love to play a game with this art style, but I'm just not in the mood to, like, pull my hair out trying to defeat bosses.
Is it the kind of game where, like, you die a lot, but death is kind of just like a slap on the wrist? Or is it
sure,
like-
sure. But it's still, I would, like, being hard, being a difficult game does not inform that art style. You know what I mean? Like, they're not hand in hand or anything. So
I felt like I was missing out. Because it's like, obviously, the actually, like, being a fucking hand-drawn 2D platformer, you need to, like, elongate the game as much as you can because you don't want to have to draw all that shit.
Maybe that's it.
It's not the only game that got released this week, though. The Avengers Square Enix game finally came out. So this could be like things you were real looking forward to for ages, and then when they finally came out, you were just kind of like,
"Don't give a fuck." Yeah.
Well, that's
Tenet,
The Rise of Skywalker,
long-awaited disappointments. That's a good idea for a podcast because, like, you look at something like Duke Nukem Forever. Not that I was looking forward to it, but that was so Duke Nukem Forever. I believe took like 10 years to come out.
I think it was like 13. Yeah.
And no one ever, you know, it's not at all a notable game. But that would also tie into the release of New Mutants. Long awaited things that ended up being disappointing is a great idea for a podcast. And we should absolutely.
Officially disappointing.
Yes, 22% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah.
Like, that works for a few things as well, because you've got Avengers game, New Mutants, the Batman starting filming again.
And then he gets COVID.
Yeah, like. Yeah, so that you know, another big news story of the week. The Rock announced he had COVID-19. I believe he's recovered. Like, his announcement
was,
so cool. We all had COVID-19, but we're fine now. Yeah. And then, yeah, the Batman started filming again. And 3 days later, production shut down because one member of the crew had coronavirus. And everyone's like, fucking, like, they should be fired. Like, we've been waiting so long, they didn't take the precautions, and they should be fired. Like, why punish us because of one fucking idiot? And then it was like, it was announced that it's reportedly Robert Pattinson is the one who tested positive. And then they're like, oh, I hope you feel better soon.
The funniest response I saw was the footage from Twilight where you see the flashback of him with the Spanish flu when he gets turned into a vampire. And people are like, no, not again! So, I don't know how we would turn this into a podcast idea.
We could do a podcast about Robert Pattinson, because, you know, there's the whole thing going around that's like, girls had Robert Pattinson for years, now he belongs to the boys.
That's not a thing, is it?
Yeah, man.
And so do like girly actors that we want as boys.
Yeah, that's a great idea! Or okay, let's extrapolate it more into like typecast genre actors that we would like to see do something experimental, right?
For the boys.
One for the boys. Okay, fine.
Of course, and that's implied.
Well, who's an actor you'd want to see convert from for the girls to for the boys?
I don't know. What are some for the girls actors?
Like, well, no, I feel like they all have done, because I'd say like Channing Tatum or Zac Efron, but both of those guys have done... pretty.
Zac Efron still right now is in the For the Girls camp.
No like, way, man. He did.
No way. He did that real shitty Ted Bundy movie.
I just mean, I don't think he's been taken away from the girls at this point.
Right. Well,
yeah, no, he's still very much like predominantly eye candy. Even in like when he does fun, self-aware roles, it's still because he's hot, you know?
I like that the moot of this idea is like just fully leaning into gender stereotypes and being like, no, there are girls movies and boys movies, and we need them to only be good for boys movies.
Yeah, I don't know who else. Like Ian Somerhalder, he's been predominantly
from Lost, right?
Yeah, and he did Vampire. I don't know what about Jensen Ackles, Richard? Or something.
What a call. I haven't thought about Ian Somerhalder in fucking years, dude. What a great call.
It's because he's been too busy making things for girls. He hasn't been in any boys films.
What are some boys actors that should do girls films? Leonardo DiCaprio should return to the girls. Yeah. Return to the
Can't
girls.
Can't wait for Leonardo DiCaprio to take the dad roles.
Mm.
Actually, because there is a few, like Matthew McConaughey is another one that I would say has done it. And you know, the girls film, but like going from like predominantly being like a romantic lead to predominantly being...
Would that be Tom Hanks as well then?
No, because Tom Hanks's career has spanned such a long time that he's been more well-known.
Wasn't he essentially a chick flick man for the first...
dumb comedies and stuff, and then did a lot of chick flicks in the 90s.
Yeah.
This is the stupidest idea I've ever extrapolated to this degree. It's such an inherently silly concept.
Because we have talked about doing something like, you know, people that have an Oscar-worthy performance in them that we may never see. Like, because you talk about...
probably all of them, right?
God, I can't remember his name, but the main guy from The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
The Sheldon guy.
No, not Jim Parsons.
Isn't he the main guy?
I think the other guy's the main guy.
Oh.
I've never seen it.
Johnny Galecki.
Johnny Galecki. He's got an Oscar in him.
I think Jim Parsons might as well.
True.
He's got a new movie coming out that I think interested me. The Boys in the Band. Trailer came out this week.
Imagine if Jim Parsons wins an Oscar and his entire speech is just him going, bazinga.
And then the memes.
I would love that.
That's what I want. actors who don't have an Oscar winning performance on them but are still trying, and it's just Zach Braff. Like that's the only one.
What films are eligible for the Oscars next year? How's all that gonna work? You guys are more up with this stuff than I am.
Good question. It is there's still talk of the Oscars may be delayed or fully cancelled. I think at the very least, it'll be like they did the Golden Globes that one year during the writer's strike, and they just went on TV and read out the winners. It's essentially, it doesn't have to come out in theaters, but I think you have to prove that you intended it to come out in theaters. Right. So if it's been delayed till next year, it's just eligible for next year's Oscars. But something like I'm Thinking of Ending Things, Netflix was probably going to do an award, you know, qualifying limited release, and David Fincher's got a movie coming out, and
at the moment that they put their film forward to be eligible, does it have to be available for some form of release at that point, or could we have a scenario where Oscar voters are voting on a film for Best Picture that hasn't actually been released really at all yet?
It does happen sometimes, like 1917 won a Golden Globe before it was released in like almost any capacity.
Because I'm just thinking of like little, like smaller movies that may have fully intended, might be eligible because they fully intended to release in the cycle, but they just can't afford to throw their movie away with a theatrical release, but they also aren't ready to stream it or something.
I think it would still require some kind of video on demand or streaming release within the Oscars year. Although I think they may have extended it slightly, the calendar year. That to allow like a bit more of that. But yeah, I mean it's kind of just like if you're just going to put it on the shelf until next year in order to just qualify for next year's Oscars.
Do you think that the production team behind The Kissing Booth 2 are frantically trying to like forge documents to prove that they intended it releasing it in cinemas first?
Yeah. What like I would be really interested to see like will we get like a bunch of prestigious movies on VOD at the end of the year? Because like because a lot of those movies take a lot less time to make, and so they would you know be filming right now. And so there is like going to be a lot of movies that just won't be able to be completed in time for the Oscars. So it's the ones that had the budget or like had already filmed long in advance and needed long post production time that they could do remotely. So yeah, like I'm sure there will be some, if the Oscars aren't fully cancelled, there will be some kind of surprising nominees, I think.
Hey, this could be Judd Apatow's year.
Yeah.
It maybe should be. Have you seen King of Staten Island?
No, but are you serious?
Yeah, it's great. I thought it was great. It's a great film. Easily Judd Apatow's best film, I think, because I'm not a big Judd Apatow fan.
Yeah, we talked about this, didn't we?
When?
When we went to Tenet, didn't we? Did we talk about Judd Apatow?
Are you saying that something I'm doing for the podcast I'd talk to you about in private and you're like, we've talked about this, AJ, we don't need to talk about
it? No, I can't recall if that was a conversation or not.
Conversations we had off pod that would make good podcasts.
What do you guys think will happen or want to see happen with theatres and streaming?
Shut them.
Like,
shut them all down.
Hey? Yeah, forever.
End it all.
I'm of the point now where like I understand that the industry is struggling and needs to release that. Like from an economic standpoint, I understand why Tenet got shoved into cinemas. However, as a moviegoer, I don't care if I don't see any new movies for the next year. Like if it's not safe, don't release them. Like when we recorded the most anticipated of 2020 at the start of the year, normally for me that's like oh my god, look at this amazing list, and it's like all these movies that it's like, yeah, I do love this franchise and it's getting and it looks great and this film looks great and it's got great talent behind it or whatever. I was just kind of like, yeah, it'll be cool to see that. And I was very apathetic on a lot of them, and now it's kind of like I've had a year to reset my relationship with movies. But at the moment, it's like. Like I said earlier in the week off pod, but I'll say it again on pod.
Thank you.
If you'd told me a year ago that I would value the lives of millions of people over seeing a new Christopher Nolan movie as soon as possible, I wouldn't have believed you because it wouldn't have been true at that point. I would have been like, yeah, fuck him. I'm seeing Tenet as soon as I can. But it's like, you know, it's a week until its release in New Zealand, and I'm like, yeah, I'll probably see it this weekend, but if I don't, who gives a shit? Like, I think the theatrical experience is going to change it. I think the relationship between a theater release and a video on demand or streaming release is going to change. That window is going to shorten. At least in the short term, it'll probably slowly get longer as theaters sort of start to recoup their losses. Yeah. But I think people are kind of realizing that people do actually just like going to the theater. They're talking about how it's going to kill the mid-level movie. But like, if studios license old films to play in the cinema, like people, it's Saturday night, people need something to do. They'll pop to the movies and see fucking Jurassic Park.
Have you been to many of those re-release screenings though?
I've been to a few, yeah.
Were they well attended in Auckland?
You said that
you thought people were sending a signal that they wanted to be going back to the cinemas. That runs contrary to my understanding of things.
Interesting, yeah. I guess it varies. Like I've seen screenings of those that I've tried to go to and they've sold out, and then there's I've been to and you know, it's been a quarter full kind of thing. It depends on the movie and the marketing of it as well, because a lot of people don't even know that they're doing these things.
That's the thing. I think they've been marketed real bad. And what I would like to, I would love to go to, like, hey, we're playing the Back to the Future trilogy all in one go tonight, but it's a lot more, the expectations of cinema etiquette are a lot more casual. Maybe there's like a candy bar in the cinema.
And Crispin Glover's there.
Yeah, Crispin Glover's there. No, and you can just quietly go and get some drinks, yeah, and it's like the movies are playing and you can whisper with your friends. Maybe the lights are only a little bit dim. You know, something more casual, like big movie nights.
Yeah, like, and play shit like The Room and Cats and like fucking let people yell at the screen. There's Hollywood Avondale, which is like the best theater in Auckland, has done screenings of Cats. They call them catnip screenings. And it's like, just get real fucking high and then come to the movies. Like, and yeah, like the, like, it's obviously worded on the page, like, we're not condoning the use of weed, but like, do not
weed,
come
is
to
it weed
sober.
People are smoking to see Cats. I would assume it would be like magic mushrooms. I would have assumed people are smoking magic mushrooms and then seeing Cats.
So I take you'll be voting to legalize magic mushrooms in the referendum this year.
Yeah, sure.
A new season of The Boys came out yesterday. It's worth mentioning. I think, Rowan, did you watch the first season?
Yeah.
We all enjoyed that. I don't think any of us have started season two.
I started watching it this morning.
Nice.
What happens in it? No, I'm just kidding.
So far, so good.
The reviews are very good. And I'm keen to see more of that. Just kind of like, it's not remastering, it's just a re-release, but there's three 3D Super Mario games are being ported to Switch.
Imagine if we talked about this for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'd be so mad. I'd be like, let's just move on.
What games would you like to play again, but not remastered, not updated in any way? You just want them on a current console.
Yeah. that would be fun. Dragonheart Fire and Steel is my absolute game. The game I want them to like.
I've never heard
release
of
on
that
the
game.
iPad. Have you heard of Dragonheart though? The movie?
Yeah.
There was this like this 2D side scrolling like hack and slash game.
Okay, awesome, let's turn this into an activity to try and not dwell on these. Unless it's like a one we obviously want to talk about. Let's just go through them one at a time and we'll go 1, 2, 3 and each of us pitch an idea for a podcast based on that.
So John Boyega spoke out quite heavily criticizing his experience with Star Wars. The gist of it, because as audiences that's all you need, is that he says that Disney essentially used his race to market the film but then had no idea what to do with the character.
Okay, here's my podcast pitch for that. Social issues more important than whether or not you liked Star Wars. Because all the responses to this have been like, Star Wars is the most important thing. It's like a man is talking about like the black experience and how like Star Wars like utilized that in such a bad way. All power to John Boyega, man. Fuck yeah, you know? Like, good on him.
Someone needs to say these things kind of thing.
Yeah. So that's my pitch. Is things more important than Star Wars? All right, what's the next piece of news?
So the co-creator of Scooby-Doo died.
Rowan, would you like to pitch a podcast based on that news?
The co-creator of Scooby-Doo died. I don't know, your favorite episodes of SpongeBob.
What?
Cartoons beginning with S.
Yeah, sure. That's my way of saying I have absolutely no idea what.
You didn't even say favorite episodes of Scooby Doo.
Yeah, no, because I don't. Well, I've never seen Scooby Doo, but I have seen SpongeBob. So,
what's your favorite episode of SpongeBob?
I actually don't know. I don't know any of the episodes like individually.
He's like, you're really asking two questions there.
I like the indoors one where it reveals that there's a monkey and a horse at the end of it. That was always my favorite one growing up.
I need to watch some more SpongeBob.
The Band Geeks is obviously an all-time classic.
Of course.
Grizzly 2 is being released after 40 years. The film starring George Clooney, Laura Dern, and Charlie Sheen. It was filmed in 1983 and has kind of just been like sitting on a shelf somewhere. And it's gonna be see the light of day, finally.
Okay. Oh, cool. Exciting.
It's one of those things, I know nothing about it, but it's just like a cool story, so I'm like, sweet.
Why was it held back?
I don't know. I think it was just not very good. like any fantastic film that sits on a shelf for 40 years is probably not very good. Even when like you've got these three people who became quite big stars after it was like...
Right. Can you pitch a podcast based on that?
Okay. lost, abandoned, or otherwise unavailable media we would like to see part three.
Other movies that should have been kept on the shelf for 40 years.
Oh, yeah, that'd be one, though. Movies that would have been received better 30 years after their release.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's held. A good idea. Robocop 3. Like, Robocop 3, I'm telling you.
Movies ahead of their time. New trailer for No Time to Die came out. Characters named Dr. No that Rami Malek's character obviously is.
if every title was a pun...
So like go no, back and retroactively make it.
You're retroactively making every title a pun.
Every title.
Every title. Because if No Time to Die is about Dr. No, then it's in the title. So
yeah, so it'll be like, who are you? And he'll be like, Dr. No. And then Bond will be like, Time to Die.
I would unironically love that.
Yeah. Dune. The Denis Villeneuve film starring girly actor Timothy Chalamet.
He's coming and doing some movies for the boys recently, though, hasn't he?
The trailer's out this week. It might even be out by the time this podcast is released. But it came, there was like a version of the trailer. Apparently, it's just like kind of shots of each of the characters. And there's like an actual teaser coming this week. Shots of that were leaked, so we kind of got our first look at the characters, but they're kind of hard to find now because, well, they're taking them down. But it's rumored to be delayed. So again, it's just like a COVID podcast.
Fuck this year.
Okay, here's my podcast pitch. Movies that should be delayed till after the pandemic, and it's just every movie that's currently slated for 2020.
Yeah.
Minus Girls Rules.
No! I have to see American Pie Girls Rules.
AP Bio, the Glenn Howerton plays Dennis the Teacher show. Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That got a new season. It was cancelled, and the new season came out this week on Peacock, NBC streaming service. So, you know, just a show revivals.
Show revivals.
Which we've kind of done already.
Cancelled shows that need a comeback season.
Yeah. Cancelled shows that don't need a comeback season, but we'd like to see.
So
anyway.
that was actually Rowan's opportunity to pitch a podcast. So, Rowan, please pitch a podcast on again a topic that you have nothing to do with. App Bio coming back for another season.
App Bio,
what's it called?
AP Bio.
AP Bio.
Oh,
Advanced Placement Biology.
I've never said it out loud or heard it or seen the show.
Great sitcoms set in a learning institution that should have had another season. Community. AP Bio.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The Pro other. Town. Yeah. All right.
two similar stories that came out. Godfather 3 is getting a re-edit from Francis Ford Coppola. And also Rocky 4 is getting a director's cut. And Sylvester Stallone has more or less confirmed that he's going to be cutting out the robot from the film.
So now this is a podcast idea we should do. We should have done this week.
Yeah.
I'm just realizing.
Director's cuts that you want.
Well, but not just like of like fucking Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. Like,
sure.
Let's see.
Random
the like prestige films and prestige directors. Like director's cuts
Stallone and Rocky IV.
yeah. Right? But
well, so like, it's also like movies with like one small issue that like movies that were almost perfect.
Well, on the last time we did this podcast, we pitched movies that need a second chance at a sequel or something like that. And this is sort of what it is, because I haven't seen Godfather 3, but
or Rocky 4.
It is or Rocky 4, but it is by like Godfather 3 is by all accounts the weak link in the trilogy. So yeah, man, do it. Do another cut of it. Like, with all the director's cuts coming out recently, I think there is legitimate podcast meat in
Those hills.
And meat, there's meat in them there hills. in doing a podcast on director's cuts or recuts. Because in the case of The Godfather 3, this is a recut. It's not like he made this already and it never got released.
Yeah. Both those films. Yeah, same with Rocky IV. He's cutting it now.
Yeah. Have you seen the title of it as well?
Yeah, it's like The Godfather Chronicles The Death of Michael Corleone.
The Godfather Coda. Death of Michael Corleone, which I didn't know he died. So there you go.
Spoilers. Are both those films for HBO Max, perchance? Like doing a thing of reissuing lots of films with director's cuts?
Maybe HBO that's going to be their thing, is what we're talking about.
That'd be
right
kind of cool.
You know what? I forgot about the Snyder Cut this whole time. We're talking about that. Yeah, like these director's cuts coming out, like all these ones coming out. I was like, oh, I guess there was Apocalypse Now last year. Like,
no. Well, there's the Snyder Cut, but then like it's not coming out. But David Ayer has talked, you know, cryptically about the Suicide
Squad. He's keen on doing it. I'd like to see that.
Oh, the Schumacher Cut was also talked about as well.
For what film?
I think Batman Forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, I mean, I want to see like all sorts of big studio movies just completely recut back to
this
some
is
original
like, this
vision.
Would be a cool trend to see in these pandemic-y times.
Yeah.
Is, you know, like directors given a film that was maybe manhandled out of their control and doing what they want to do with it. I would be very interested in seeing that.
So Paul Thomas Anderson has a new film coming out. It's set in a high school in the 70s. Bradley Cooper is cast. Benny Safdie, the director, one half of the Safdie Bros, who's Robert Pattinson's brother in Good Time, was cast in it this week. And one of the sisters in the band Haim were cast, who Paul Thomas Anderson has directed a few of their music videos. But most intriguingly, Cooper Hoffman, Philip Seymour Hoffman's 17-year-old son, was cast as the lead in the film. So Paul Thomas Anderson and Philip Seymour Hoffman had this like a very strong working relationship together for a long time, from Hard Eight, his very first film, right through to The Master. Yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson like describes seeing him act for the first time, and it wasn't just like he's a great actor. It was like, this actor is made for me, and I am made for him. And they had this like really simpatico kind of relationship
It
was like they were perfect for each other. And it will be really interesting to see. And so it's kind of Hollywood nepotism at its finest, but it's also like this beautiful chance potentially for like, you know, to have that kind of relationship rekindled in some way.
Is acting hereditary? That's the podcast. or great actors whose kids are probably also good at acting.
Yeah.
great actors who I'd be willing to take a risk on their kid.
Maybe don't word it like that.
Yeah,
I'll word it like goddamn please.
Here's another fun. So Evil Dead Rise, the new Evil Dead film, which won't star Bruce Campbell, but he is going to be in it in a producing capacity. He announced that they're going to fuck up a city in this one. So it's going to be taking place, it's moving what's traditionally been a cabin in the woods to taking place in an urban location.
There's a podcast idea right there.
Yeah.
Relocating.
What movies could you put in an urban city?
No, relocate. So like, essentially what the Die Hard sequels do is like taking the same concept and putting it in a different or bigger or different area. I mean, that's just a sequel trope that we've talked plenty about, but it'd be cool to like
Jason Takes Manhattan.
Ace Ventura 2, set in the jungle instead of the city. You know?
Yeah. The Eternals, Marvel's The Eternals, now due next year, was supposed to come out in a couple months, has dropped the and it's just Eternals now.
Oh, how exciting.
Other movies that should drop the
other the movies Suicide Squad titled by Sean.
What'd you say?
What's the guy from the Facebook movie?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Other movies retitled by Sean Parker.
Sean Parker. Drop the Yeah.
If you can edit that to make it fluid, that'd be good.
Drop the is a cool idea.
Yeah.
Because that's how it makes $1 billion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because do you know it's not cool? What? Star Wars. Do you know what is cool? Marvel.
Facebook.
Jack Quaid, the from The Boys, the main character in The Boys, has been cast in Scream 5, presumably as the killer. Like, surely, right?
other actors who could play the killer in Scream 5. I'm getting
other
very lazy.
Who are clearly
this.
Going to be reviewed. Or, like, upcoming casting decisions, which are clearly one thing. Like, Here's another kind of big one. Benioff and Weiss, D&D, D.B. Weiss, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who ruined Game of Thrones, have got a new series on Netflix coming. It's an adaptation of the sci-fi novel The Three-Body Problem, which is apparently a very good book, very good sci-fi novel.
Oh, fantastic!
So that'll be interesting.
Let's all get into it.
Other great works of literature that DB and D&D can ruin.
Richard, out of interest, and can you Google it if you don't know, are those books like a completed series?
I think they're quite old.
I think it's like it's one book. Because
pretty easy to do.
By all accounts, like they adapted a book really well. It's what they it is a trilogy. There's The Three-Body Problem, The Dark Forest, and Death's End.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe they can stick the landing if someone's already written it for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Okay, just a couple more to go. Mm-hmm. they're doing the Friends reunion. It's not like a scripted thing.
Canonical.
It's just they're getting everyone back together in one room. They're doing the same thing with the Fresh Prince. Uncle Phil will presumably be absent because he's been dead for quite a while.
Okay, here's the podcast idea. Clearly disappointing ways of doing things. Like, obviously, a Friends reunion, you want another fucking episode of Friends. Obviously, you want that.
Yeah.
What are they actually doing? Just a sit-down retrospective or something?
Yeah.
Great!
Which, to be fair, is the first time they will appear publicly together, all six of them, in, 16 years.
Pretty keen to see what Matthew Perry's up to, eh?
Wasn't this news like announced like pre-COVID?
It was pre-COVID, and then it was like it's one of those things HBO, that like when COVID got serious, it was like a week away from filming. And so they were like, we're gonna have to, like, because they were gonna do it with a studio audience and stuff as well. Two more things. Netflix is going to be making some films available for free. So it's like Bird Box, a few of their originals are going to be available to non-subscribers. It's the kind of rumor as to why they're doing it is that they're going to be testing like a free version of the service with ads. Which, I don't necessarily, like, I'm happy paying however much it is.
We're back to TV.
Yeah, exactly.
It never left.
Just everyone has Netflix, but no one's paying for it. TV.
Yeah.
Great.
I don't know. Things that could revert to the thing that they replaced.
It's not even about pop culture.
Yeah.
It's just like cars to horses.
Technology being cyclical.
Cars announced to be dragged by horses again. They're testing out a version of the car. And finally, it's kind of already implied, but Brooklyn Nine-Nine has been pushed to 2021 season 8, which I think the last season only debuted at the start of this year, so it was probably going to do the same. But I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I mean, we could, like, maybe not a whole podcast, but if we'd, organized this episode better, we could have had one of the longer discussions at the start. But, like, what to do about Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
What do you do about it?
What's the dilemma?
What's the dilemma, Rowan, that everyone hates the police now? And people aren't going to want to watch like a happy show about wacky policemen.
That's spicy. Yeah, shit.
Yeah, like the Terry Crews and Andre Brower, who coincidentally are both black.
Coincidentally,
but like I'm just saying that it's like members of the cast have spoken about like how they're approaching season 8, and it's not just like Andy Samberg being like, yeah, I'm sure we'll be fine. It's like actual like black members of the cast who are like, this is obviously very important to me personally, and also, you know, as the show. And they've kind of said, like, Andre Brower was speaking about it this week and saying, who plays Captain Holt, that essentially, like, it's always going to be a comedy show. And like they're having to see, like, how can we still laugh about these kind of things, but also, like, they're going to address the elephant in the room, and they're to be fair, and you're like, you haven't watched much Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but they do tackle these kind of topics.
But
they've said that they're not going to they're not going to just rely on living in a fantasy world, which they kind of have been for the last seven seasons, where it's like, you know, like shows like The Good Place and Parks and Rec take place, all by Michael Schur, like take place in kind of like a heightened reality where everything's like, you wish the world was a little bit like this. And I think with season 8, they're not going to be leaning on that.
You remember when, who was it who was in 8 Simple Rules who died?
John Ritter.
John Ritter. When John Ritter died and they worked it into the show, I remember seeing that on TV and being like, they should have just cancelled the show. I don't know if there's a way to save Brooklyn Nine-Nine from cops no longer being...
Well, now that Trump's shutting down the postal service, like literally just everyone at Brooklyn Nine-Nine gets shifted to the postal service, and it's now just a show about the postal service.
That's a cool idea. I read another idea that was like, it should actually be like a demonstration of what happens when you defund the police. Which is a pretty, like, that's almost like a socially conscious idea to be like, hey, if you're worried about what it would look like, this potentially...
Don't worry, it'll be fun and wacky and they'll have my
This is potentially what it would look like, which I like that idea.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm very interested to see the new season.
I might even watch season 8 just I watched like season 1 like 5 years ago, and now I'll watch season 8 to see how they deal with it.
Yeah.
So cool. That's the news for the week.
Yeah, unless there's anything breaking and it's like, oh my God, Tom Hanks was shot. Like,
ideas for breaking news, new podcast.
cool. No, yeah, breaking news that could actually make you like, you know, sharply like
record another hour like of
actually,
the podcast.
Or like actually something that would surprise you.
Something that would surprise you in 2020.
Because there's not much, right?
Damn. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. Please like us on all our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the places. You can email us at coldpoptionmedia@gmail.com. Sorry about this episode being a bit rushed. It was a bit rushed. That's the reason why. And I need to go to lunch. I need to go to lunch, Rowan.
Where are you going for lunch?
To my kitchen.
Oh, right. Nice.
Can Rowan thank you. Come?
No, I'm
going to want some enchiladas?
Probably sprint out the back door. Do you quite like living so close to the supermarket?
I don't live close enough to the supermarket for it to be like, I live close enough to the supermarket.
But do you walk there?
I actually get it delivered. How shitty is that?
Oh, AJ!
How shitty is that?
It's like got to be like 10 minutes walk.
Yeah, but if you... I don't like carrying big bags.
I am.
Well, how big are your supermarket
shops? When I lived
shops?
In Christchurch, I lived like 30 seconds walk from a supermarket. And nice. I tell you what, it's great. Like, you just use it like a pantry. Like, there's no point doing a shop. It's just like, oh, I feel like food. I'll just...
Yeah.
It's the same as going to the kitchen.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's what my dream is. Anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. Stay tuned for the post-credits scene, which we need to record, Richard, but I can't... maybe we could record it later. So, yeah, thank you for listening. I'm really desperately trying to turn this clearly rushed ending into something that sounds intentional.
Just slow it down and post.
Maybe this is a intentional creative decision that you disagree with. Let us know.
AJ,
let us know your podcast ideas.
AJ, you know for a fact that after 1 hour of recording, Audacity does not like the file. And we are now approaching 1 minute, 1 hour and 7 minutes.
I know. Okay, let's stop. Okay, goodbye, everybody. Bye. If you hear this, you'll know Audacity played ball. 1 to the post-credits scenes. This
scenes.
Is AJ.
AJ, we're just recording one.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're right. This is a section brought to us by our Patreon, where for $5 a month or more, should you choose to bless us, you can give us something to talk about in the end of the episode after the music plays out in our, you know, and, our veritable post-credit scene.
These post-credit scenes are famous for, we'll do like a funny little gag where we talk about the episode that has just been. We're a little behind the curtain peek. We don't know what episode it's going on. However, this episode, we do know what episode it's going on because, for one, we just recorded before. And since recording the podcast you just listened to, I have watched Tenet. And I thought it was real good, and I didn't have any problems with the sound mixing.
Goodbye. No, well, look, man, I thought about this because
you're just gonna put this on a different episode to fucking screw me over.
No, not at all. I was trying to get to the heart of like when people disagree with me about media. I often take it quite personally.
Right, so.
No, I often take it quite personally, and I wish I didn't. And it's sort of like a mid-year's resolution of mine to stop being so personally offended by like someone not liking Avengers Endgame. You know what I mean? Like stop like thinking of them as less than a person for disagreeing with me.
So that's what you've been doing to me for the last few hours.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that I was like, okay, Richard liked Tenet. Why does that upset me more than it probably should? And I was like, it's because if you couldn't figure anything was wrong with the audio mix, that is a direct insult upon me. That is you saying, AJ, there is something wrong with you.
Right.
You're the freak.
I don't know. Like, it's one of those things that I think... For me, it's like, because going in knowing, oh, the audio mix is the worst you'll ever hear in cinema. And then it's like, because I understand that, like, when they have the masks on, which is a chunk of the film, that's hard to hear. But that doesn't come in till, like, that doesn't become a significant impedance to hearing the dialogue for, like, an hour and 20 minutes into the film kind of thing. And so I think, you know, I had quite a long period of time being like, this is fine. And then when it came in, I was like, oh, okay, this must be it. But I can kind of get the gist of it.
Oh, man. No, we made it sound so much worse than it is. And I know you wanted to hate this movie, Richard.
I know.
And
you took that away from me. You did.
I'm sorry.
Even when we thought it was going to be good, I wanted to hate it.
Yeah.
We're both disappointed because you wanted it to be good and I didn't.
I'm sorry. Richard, this episode's post-credit scene comes to us from Vincent Lara, who says, greetings, Richard and AJ. Given the absolute shit show that 2020 has turned into in terms of negativity and overall hate, I want to ask for some positivity from you both. What is a film, show, or other medium that you turn to for raising your spirits? For myself, I go back to Disney Pixar movies I grew up with and think back to simpler times of growing up and not worrying about the state of society as a whole. As always, thank you so much for being a podcast I look forward to listening to every week. You guys bring much needed laughs and smiles in these times. Thank you, Vincent.
Well,
love you, man.
This is an easy question. Tenet, obviously.
Right, of course. I've brought this up a few times. My happy show is Pushing Daisies, which even that is racked with this crippling disappointment that it got cancelled before its time. But that is the happiest show I've ever seen and one of my favorite shows. And I love, I love it regardless. But if I'm feeling particularly sad,
yeah,
there's something so, sincerely sweet about Pushing Daisies. It's such an important thing to the show to be like it's when it's being true to itself and being quite a touching show, and I think that is a good thing.
Yeah, for me, I think like my like happy place kind of TV shows and things like that, they're kind of just like ones that you're very familiar with and you can just sit down and let them wash over you and don't have to pay that much attention to. So obviously like The Simpsons is like, you know, I know that more than I know myself. But lately, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine has been a big kind of like safety show for me, which, you know, obviously, but problematic.
As we were just talking about.
And kind of anything by Michael Schur, like, so that's Parks and Rec, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Good Place. those all kind of exist in a heightened reality where everything is good and people are nice to each other.
You just talked about this on the episode.
Yeah, we did just talk about it, but I'm now extending it to the other two shows. But it is like that. And I also find, again, lately, like, you know, during lockdown and stuff like that, finding like games being, like video games being really kind of therapeutic. And so there's things like Lego Marvel Super Heroes, and I've been playing Unravel. Like these kind of like wholesome.
Unravel
indie.
Is the Unravel is the textbook answer to this question.
Yeah. But like
it's like designed to be wholesome.
Something like Lego Marvel Super Heroes is like this because I played the second one. I platinumed it just recently, and it's like, you know, you have to unlock 279 characters, and like each one of them requires you to do something to unlock it, and then there's like 230 gold bricks, and again you have to do like something, so it's like hundreds and hundreds of individual tasks. But because it's a kids game and it's like these characters in the Marvel universe that I really like, I just find it so relaxing, and it's like therapeutic to just absentmindedly be able to do this kind of thing and not really have to think that much.
Yeah, actually, another answer I can give for this for when I'm feeling really sad, I haven't been feeling that sad this past week, but I could see this being therapeutic should I have been sad, would be I've been watching complete playthroughs of Crash Bandicoot games, like unbroken, no deaths, like
with,
just,
with
commentary. You know, 100%. No, not with commentary at all. You just peacefully watch someone ace a game, yeah. And that's really satisfying. But I didn't mention this on the Mount Rushmore episode that we did before realizing, oh my god, this is one of my Mount Rushmores, is a YouTube channel called Game Grumps, which is commentary over games, but is less like a let's play and more like listening to the radio. Yeah. And I've been watching Game Grumps since I was 18. So nearly 10 years I've been watching Game Grumps. And that series has informed my sense of humor, my values, like legit, you know, they've taught me how to be adults because I started listening to at a very formative time in my young adulthood. And there was a period of time last year where I was very depressed, and how I got through it was throwing on Game Grumps, like, massive ass episodes and just blobbing out and watching that, and that was very peaceful. So I recommend it.
There's also a YouTube channel called Cracking the Cryptic that Jess has been getting into a lot, and I like to watch as well. I sent a video to you. It's this guy who's just very wholesome, like older man, and he just solves Sudokus, but like not just Sudokus, they all have like some like insane extra rules, and it starts with no digits, and like the video is like 45 minutes long, and AJ can attest to the fact that it can get very exciting.
It can do. And look, to be honest, any YouTube channel with bingeable content has become somewhat of a comfort food for me. I would love to recommend some. There's one called Mini Me, which I think is a Australian New Zealand guy. He's got a mix of both accents. I think he lives in Australia, who does game reviews, but the games he does it's right up our alley, dude. It's like movie tie-in games, very like silly, stupid ideas for games. So like he might do like the Godfather PS2 game, which is like I always wanted to know what this was but never wanted to play you know. And but he also do like Vin Diesel Wheelman and Jet Li's the Jet Li PS2 game, I can't remember what it's called, and things like that, which are like these, that's his niche, right? Is like these silly games that he sort of puts a pretty good eye on, and he's like, you know what, the new Fast and Furious game, the one that just came out, it's not that not that bad, he says. So there you go. So that's one of them. I've recently got into one fellow New Zealander. Shout out. I don't think she listens. So shout out to for one you never hear. To Outdoors with Sum, which is this lady named Summer. And I think she's in the North Island. And she goes around and looks at different New Zealand native creatures, films them. Her latest video is about a white kiwi and like an albino kiwi. Very relaxing stuff. I really like that. I'm really getting into a channel called Oddheader, which is a guy whose channel is exclusively devoted to just endless listicle videos of Easter eggs hidden in video games or glitches or strange discoveries. Mm. This is my shit, dude. This is my stuff, right? So I love just those you find a channel, the narrator is peaceful enough that it's not grating,
yeah,
and you can just watch hours of the content they've already made. And I hope perhaps, you know, maybe Cult Popshire is that for someone out there. Wouldn't that be the dream?
Well, I mean, the whole thing, the whole reason we're doing this is because Vincent said it is.
Yeah, yeah. True, that's true. There you go.
Thanks, Vincent. Wow.
Bringing it full circle to the Ben-Hur of post-credit scenes that is this one here. So thank you very much, guys. See you on the next episode. Don't usually do endings to these.
No, we normally just cut them off real abruptly.